Welcome to the Chronic Podcast with host Ralph Malvro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of Hakeem Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No doubt.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his... I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malvro.
Welcome to the Chronic Podcast. I'm your host, Ralph Malvro. As always, we are brought to you by the Pelican House in Baton Rouge, 2572 City Place Court. You can go there. You can watch LSU in the regionals this week against... against Southeast Louisiana. Some team named Bryant, Houston. When Tulane hires a coach, Dave, and gets good in baseball again, maybe they'll be able to go. They have 136 draft beers, the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They support us, so you should support them. All right.
I'm pretty confident no one is going to the Pelican House to watch Tulane baseball ever.
I don't know. If it's LSU Tulane, they might.
Yeah, that's the only way.
True. But then they're going to watch LSU.
Well, you know, you take what you get. All right, there's no draft. There's no free agency. There's no mini camp, so it is officially the dead summer months where you don't want any Saints news because it's only bad news of players getting arrested or players getting injured at mini
players
camp or
sleeping in their car on Earhart.
Exactly.
Didn't OTA start today?
Yeah, they did.
Are you guys surprised we got like no news or information on
the
how
media?
That went?
The media isn't allowed this week. They're allowed. They're allowed next Thursday, and they're allowed the Thursday after that, and they're allowed to the veteran mini camp, but that's all they're allowed to.
God, you know that's got to piss them off.
So
I'm sure they're used to it by now.
Literally, the biggest Saints story of the week was Rob Ryan being awesome at Greek Fest. Kevin, have we reached the point with Rob Ryan where you could say any ridiculous story on Twitter, and people would be like, "That's plausible."
Oh yeah, no, it's great. I love the fact that not only does he get coverage. I mean, he's getting coverage on Deadspin. He gets coverage on The Big Lead, and it's great. Like nobody, like that's one of the great things here. Nobody says shit about Rob Ryan. They all just have nice, positive things to say about him. And it's great. Like, if it was Sean Payton, you know, people would be finding something to complain about or bitch about or make fun of. But because it's old Rob, nope. You know why? Because everybody would love to have a coach or somebody in the personnel side that's just a fun-loving cat. And that's what Rob Ryan is.
But Andrew, shouldn't he be breaking down tape or helping the pirate Stanley Jean Baptiste get better instead of like killing 6 pounds of baklava? I mean,
well, he is. That's the point. Is he's the ultimate work hard, play hard guy, and he gets to do all of his shenanigans like strut his stuff at the Greek festival and dance around with a beer in his hand.
An orange pants.
Or, you know, eat some souvlaki, or, you know, march in a parade on St. Patty's Day and drink green beer and then turn around and turn the worst defense in NFL history into the fourth best defense in the NFL. So that's what Rob Ryan does. But, yeah, it seems like the rules of ethics and the media that holds coaches to an accountability in terms of behavior – kind of ceased to exist with Rob Ryan. It's awesome. Like he gets this pass. Like he gets to be this drunk, overweight, hobo looking guy, and everyone loves him for it, and it's cool.
Dave,
so that's awesome.
Dave, what what would be your ultimate story about Rob Ryan that could crash Canal Street Chronicles in a good way? Not like he obviously he can't he murders someone or something bad happens, but what could be the funnest Jesus. Rob Ryan story that you could conceive that could possibly crash the Chronic?
He like saves a drowning baby because that would be like so unlike Rob Ryan. If he did something really cool like that, you know, not so much on the side of partying and drinking and gambling or doing whatever, but if it was like a real humanitarian story, I think that would play real well.
Like if he was at like the blackjack table at Harrah's and saved someone choking on a chicken wing or something.
Nice.
That would be great. That's totally plausible.
And then like the thing that would crash the site, I think, is if somebody had a vine of Rob Ryan doing the Heimlich to somebody, like, and you had the 6-second vine of the chicken wing coming out of the person's mouth. I think that could crash the Chronic if you had it first. Yeah, you'd have to have it first, I think.
Yeah, I got to beat him to the punch.
Yeah.
What's with all this feedback that I'm getting here?
I don't know. I'm getting it as well.
Yeah, me too.
What, now?
It's got to be – must be Kevin. Must be Kevin's
you
fault.
Held.
Wait, let me ask you. Was it this?
No.
No? Okay.
All right. It's gone now, I think.
Yeah, it seems to be sounding a little better.
Yeah. In other football news, the Pro Football Focus had their top 100, and the top saint was Jimmy Graham. He was 13. And then the next rated saint was Cam Jordan at 40. And then Keenan Lewis was 49, and Drew Brees is 60, and Marcus Colson was 101. You can argue Drew Brees should be higher again, but I mean they rate the players. They try to make them equal. So a great quarterback is no more valuable than a great center. They try to rank them all evenly because their theory is if you just go on value of players that you would want or whatever, quarterbacks would always be the top guys. But Andrew, I'll start with you because you're a big Pro Football Focus guy. I went up and down this list twice. I don't see Jarris Byrd, and that surprised me that he didn't make the top 100.
Yeah, I mean, I as much as I love Keenan Lewis, and it's great to see him get some recognition and be on this list because I feel like he's a little bit of a under the radar guy that maybe gets a little bit less credit than some of the bigger names on the team. But yeah, Jarris Byrd is a glaring omission, I think. I mean, he was the top free agency pick up in the NFL this year and the most sought after free agent. So you would think that alone would get him up there. But these lists are ridiculous. And I get the point of you don't want the elite quarterbacks to be 1 through 8 on this list. I mean, I get that. But Brees is clearly the best player on the Saints. And he basically made Jimmy Graham who he is. And yep. To have him below Jimmy Graham, to have him below any other player on that team, just to me nullifies the value, the overall credibility of that whole list to begin with. I can't take it seriously when someone tells me Drew Brees is the 60th best player in the NFL. I'm sorry.
What
quarterbacks were ahead of him on that list? Besides Peyton Manning, what other quarterbacks?
The only quarterback that is ahead of him is – I don't see any yet. Phillip Rivers, Russell Wilson. Phillip Rivers and Russell Wilson. Those are the two quarterbacks ahead of him.
All right, I'm looking at the numbers. And, okay, you can make the case for Phillip Rivers.
You can?
Yeah.
He probably had the best season of his career last year.
Yeah. So,
and it still sucked.
Well, now actually, he threw for 4,478 yards, which was obviously behind Drew Brees. Drew Brees had the second most. But Brees had completed 68.6% of his passes. Phillip Rivers completed 69.5%, which I believe was the league, the highest in the league.
Yeah, I think he was in play with a couple weeks left to beat Brees' record
Yeah,
for completion percentage.
He completed 8.23 yards per attempt, which is up there. Breeze completed 7.94. And I think Peyton Manning, well, no, Aaron Rodgers had 8.75. Huh. But so he was up there on that. He had 32 touchdowns and 11 picks. 105.5 quarterback rating. That was slightly higher than Drew Brees's. I mean, that's how much higher was Philip Rivers over Drew Brees?
He's pretty high. I mean, he was 43, so he's 17 spots ahead of him.
Yeah. There's definitely a problem. There's definitely a problem with that.
So really what this list is the 100 best years for 2013, like basically the 100 people that had the best seasons in 2013.
Yeah. That's basically it.
And yeah. I mean, I think I'm okay with Philip Rivers being listed for one season. I mean, you know, part of what makes Brees so amazing is that he's consistently in the top 100 every single year he's been with the Saints, you know, or the top 50 or whatever you want to say. You know, he's constantly every single year been an elite quarterback. That's, to me, what makes him more special than a guy like Roethlisberger or Eli Manning or Matt Schaub or Carson Palmer. A lot of those guys that I just named have had amazing seasons, some seasons arguably better than Brees. And then they've had dumpster fire seasons. And I don't know that Philip Rivers has ever had a dumpster fire season. But he's had some very, very poor ones.
Two years ago,
I think he had a very high interception. So, you know, I'm fine. I could care less. I mean, if you want to say that this one quarterback, I mean, you could argue that Josh McCown had a better season than Brees last year. Does that make him a better quarterback? No. But anyone can get hot in a small amount of time in a small window, and that's fine. And if you want to put him ahead of Brees on that list because he, you know, had a better 9-game stretch, I mean, any quarterback could do that. Romo has done that. I'm fine. Joe Flacco, you know, in the Super Bowl run. So I'm fine with that. But at the end of the day, I think we all know who any team in the NFL would prefer as their starting quarterback if they had to pick between Rivers and Brees, and it's not Rivers.
Well,
so
I thought of an interesting question. So, Dave, I'm going to ask you this question. And let's assume, you know, they don't have Jarvis Byrd on this list, but you can't pick him. But I want you to pick a Saints player that you want on this list when they do it next year that's not on this list this year for the Saints. You can pick one guy, and he's going to be good enough to be on this list. Who is that Saints player that you want on that list?
Brandon Cooks. That's who I would take. That would mean Brandon Cooks had one hell of a rookie season. That would mean the Saints offense probably did pretty well, especially if we're going to put Jimmy Graham back on the list and Drew Brees back on the list next year too. My pick would be Brandon Cooks.
Andrew?
I would pick one. I'd be between Akeem Hicks and John Jenkins. I think I would pick Akeem Hicks just because I love that guy. And if he was on the list, that to me would signify that not only is he starting to get sacks, but he's just gotten to a level of domination that is in the J.J. Watt territory, because that's the kind of player he is. I mean, he's a physical run stopper. I mean, he can pass rush a little bit, but he's more of just like an all-around defensive end. And if he's on that list, that means he really just in all phases just ate people alive. And I just go back to that sack he had against Matt Ryan where he literally mauled and bulldozed over a Falcons lineman into Matt Ryan for the sack and basically tackled two players at once for the sack, including an offensive lineman. So if we could get more of that in a season, I'm all for it.
Because your Hicks is on my list. Akeem Hicks is on my list with the best things in life.
Kevin, who would be your
model, by the way?
Who would be your choice?
All right.
Because your Hicks.
That's great.
Hey, Ralph, say Akeem Hicks 10 times fast.
I can't. I can't even say it once correctly. You know that.
No, top that.
Top that.
So,
top that. Now, if you get that reference, you're awesome.
So, Kevin, who is your player?
I'm going to say Mark Ingram.
Ooh.
Wow.
See, I like
because
that's why I wanted to stay on the offensive side of the ball.
If a running back, I mean, Pierre.
Wouldn't you rather just pick Kyrie Robinson, though, at this point?
No.
Like, wouldn't you rather just some other dude in the backfield be awesome?
No.
Well, no. If Mark Ingram, go ahead, Kevin.
Because my thought on this is, Mark Ingram apparently is going to be the guy that they're gonna, just going to want to run the ball with. And Pierre, he'll be splitting touches and probably fewer and fewer touches. Ingram's probably just their workhorse back. And if Mark Ingram is good enough to get on the top 100 list, that means that the offense is absolutely dominating.
Yeah.
Absolutely dominating.
I tell you that would be a tough. That would be a very weird situation because they just told him basically that he's not worth $5 million, so he can be a free agent next year.
But he's not. I mean, what running back gets?
Well,
$5 million?
No, you're right. He's not. But I'm just saying, if he ends up on that top 100 list, then he's going to command more than five. I mean, he could command money in that range or more in free agency
for us. Because then Andrew, starting in like mid November, when everybody realizes probably that Mark Ingram's having a great year and it's not just a 3 or 4 week fluke, we get to discuss it all off season should the Saints re-sign him.
Yeah.
It's a built-in topic for us, which is good.
Yeah.
I really like the Mark Ingram choice, and I'm going to go a guy just for sheer fun of it. If Junior Gallette could get himself on this list, and it would mean the Saints' defense is – The pass rush would be like Dome Patrol 2000 or Leroy Glover, Joe Johnson type level pass rush. And Junior Gallette's a crazy person. So if he gets to like 17, 18 sacks, the fun that we would have with that would just be fantastic. So I would vote Junior Gallette as my guy that I would want on this list for next year.
Junior.
There's really no other Saints news to speak of because Jonathan Goodwin hadn't signed yet. And the legislature pulled the Workman's Comp bill. So I'm just going to dive right into Twitter questions unless any of you gentlemen have an objection.
Go ahead.
No objection.
All right. I like this one. This is from Adam Fauché, and I'll start with you, Dave. Saints – better Saints mascot, Gumbo or Sir Saint? You can go Gumbo now, the guy in the costume, or you can go original Gumbo, the live Saint Bernard back in the day.
Well, I mean, I think because Gumbo, the real live Saint Bernard, because that was the original mascot, I think that makes even today's Gumbo better than Sir Saint. I don't know what year. Sir Saint wasn't always around from the beginning, right? He wasn't on their logo from the get-go,
yeah,
was he?
He was.
Okay.
They had him, and then he was gone because I have the letter of when my dad and my grandfather had season tickets. I have the original letter that they got in 67 because they had season tickets the first 3 years of the Saints, and Sir Saint is on the letter.
Yeah, I mean, I love Sir Saint as a logo and on the logo and as the old logo. That's probably my favorite Saints logo, to be honest with you.
But he's not – I can see what you're saying, but he's not a mag.
Yeah, it just doesn't really play – I mean, it's cool that they went and got that suit made with the big chin and everything like that. I mean, I'm curious to know how much it costs to have a custom mascot suit made.
Mascot Emporium.
But no, I mean, I think just because Gumbo was a dog originally and just – I know what Kevin – how Kevin would answer this question because – Kevin,
you think you know,
but because Kevin's a dog lover, and if he says Sir Saint, then maybe he doesn't love dogs as much as he pretends to.
He shuts my mouth.
But so my answer, I would go with Gumbo. I mean, none of them really blow me away. when my kid gets older, you know who we should ask? Let's ask Andrew. Does your son have a favorite of the two mascots?
I think he likes Gumbo better.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, the mascots are there for the kid.
I think he's a little scared of Sir Saint. Yeah, I think he. I think in general, like the mascot. You know, we're in Charlottesville, Virginia, so UVA has like the Fighting Cavalier, and any oversized human kind of freaks the shit out of him. So you know, where it's like where if it's like an oversized dog, you know, that's more of like, hey, a cute little fun, you know, stuffed animal, but. You know, an oversized human, I think that it freaks him out. He's legitimately afraid.
How quickly would your son shit his pants if he saw an oversized Kevin Held?
How quickly?
Yeah.
I mean, it would be instantaneous. It would be on site. Like his shit would be running down his leg immediately.
Put that in the new intro.
What are you eating, Kevin?
Pork steak.
Whoa. So Kevin, who would be your choice
for
better mascot?
I'm gonna say you see, like getting the animal just seems like too collegiate. So I'm gonna say the Gumbo mascot. The human in the dog costume, because you know,
I mean, we don't really know if there's a human in there.
Okay,
it could be a dog operating a dog costume.
Okay, whatever's wearing the dog, what the dog costume does that? Because the dog costume is going to be walking around posing for pictures with people. They're not going to take the live dog out and about and let random drunk assholes take photos in the stadium. That's not going to happen. So you're not going to get that fan interaction that you need.
Let's see.
I'm going to throw out real quick that Kevin had a very sentimental tweet. I think it was this week about how he's never met me. He's never met Dave, or maybe met Dave once. I've met Dave one time. Ralph, I've met you maybe five, six times. Yeah, and that was enough. But he said something like, but I still consider those guys my friends, and I just want to say here, and we all agree, and we love you, Kevin. So thanks for the touching and sweet tweet this
week.
Yeah,
I haven't seen Kevin face-to-face since, like, we did stand-up comedy. It was, like, what, like, Kevin, like, 2003?
Oh, no. It was after – I thought it was right after Hurricane Katrina.
I don't think so.
No?
Maybe. I don't think so. I don't think I did comedy in Louisiana post Katrina.
Were you there for
the entire state
thank surf you, bar? Though. Were you there in the surf bar or just the coffee place?
I was both. I bombed in both places.
That's probably the last time Kevin was in New Orleans, right?
It might have been. My favorite stand-up comedy story is I might have told this on the podcast, but I worked at WWL and I did side for extra money at WSMB 1350, and they had a guy, he was an Elvis impersonator, and he did a home improvement show.
Oh, God.
And his son was like, hey, my dad, he does gigs, and I've seen you do comedy. Why don't you come to the North Shore and do a gig for us? And I was like – he's like, we'll pay you $100. I'm like, that's awesome, of course. So I do – and Kevin, if Kevin will tell you, my stand-up comedy was like 70% for me and like 30% for the audience. Like I did really, really weird stuff. But the gig was at a retirement home. I used to do a stand-up routine where I had a cutout of Britney Spears and I tried to make the cutout of Britney Spears turn into a real girl and love me. And that's what I planned to do. So I was like, I'm doing it. And I did it in front of people that the youngest person in the audience was probably like 70.
It didn't go over well?
They didn't have that many bombs in Germany in the 40s, I'm telling you. what? That's my stand-up comedy career.
That might have been your best joke right there.
Yeah. Andrew, this question is from Super Saiyan Saint. It's for you. If the Saints beat Dallas, and I don't know who this is, should RR pull a TO on the Dallas Star?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think he should get completely naked and just do cartwheels on the Dallas Star at midfield. I don't know if you guys saw this kind of separate but related. Jonathan Vilma, there's a rumor that I'm guessing Sean Lee is most likely out for the year. It sounds like he just had an ACL tear, and they're looking at Jonathan Vilma, who is quote-unquote healthy, to potentially sign him with the Cowboys. If that were to happen, playing him in that game would definitely be a little weird and awkward, but because Sean Payton's going to have to pick on him, because you know he's going to be awful.
Yes, Dallas Cowboys, great move. Let's give $60 million to a linebacker that's never played 16 games in a year.
Yeah, there you go.
This one is for me by Super Saiyan. How will your Twitter updates fare when your wife passes you in followers, over, under, in tiers? As people know, my wife joined Twitter this week. She has 4 tweets, but she's up to like 25 followers. I think she's probably going to pass me. And one of these times when she tweets out these horrendous wedding dress photos of, like, last night she tweeted out a wedding dress photo where it was a woman with like huge tits and they were barely covered.
Huge.
She's going to tweet out one of those and get to like 5,000 followers in like a snap of a finger. And then I will cry because she'll have like 5,000 followers in like 20 tweets.
What is her name on Twitter? We need to get her some more followers.
Her name is Mon Mal. Let me see. You can type in. Good.
Well, that's the first mistake.
Yeah. You don't even know your wife's Twitter.
Sorry.
Name.
Yeah, I'm a terrible husband. I know you. She just said you don't even know my birthday. I know your birthday. It's September 23rd.
Yeah, wait, don't say it on the podcast.
Mon Mal is her.
I think you're gonna have to tell us how to spell that, because
Monmal.
All right,
that's it.
Yeah. I told her she needed to like mix in wedding and Hispanic and combo it up.
But I'm surprised at Mon Mal was available. No, I'm not.
I don't even see anybody by that name.
All right.
Oh wait. Yes, I do. Monmal.
Kevin, I like this question for you. What percentage of the vote would a Loomis Edwin Edwards gubernatorial ticket get?
I don't think it would win. I think too many people would be afraid that Edwards would somehow conspire to have Loomis killed so he could assume the governorship. So that's my thought.
Loomis math could be fun, but very destructive in like 5 years.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, we'll start building all new bridges, all new schools, the whole deal, and for like 5 or 6 years it'll be great. But then the second he leaves office after his second term,
it'll crumble.
Yeah,
awful. Andrew, would you vote for Loomis Edwards?
No, I would not.
You would not.
No, I love Mickey Loomis. He's awesome, but I can't have Edwin Edwards anywhere near. Well, I mean, whatever. The alternatives, I'm sure, will be horrific. So never say never. I mean, at one point the options were Edwards or Duke, David Duke. So there you go.
Dave, this is from Super Saiyan Saint. Does it make Juge mad that tennis dance-off gets more coverage than the French Open tournament itself?
What was the tennis dance-off?
What's tennis dance-off?
You didn't see the tennis. They had the French Open. They had like a rain delay or something on the first day. And they had two guys, instead of playing, they did a dance off.
I did see that.
And it got more coverage than the actual French Open. asking how mad – I was asking Dave, how mad do you think Andrew is?
I mean, if that's true, I would assume he's been – he'd be pretty PO'd. When is the French Open on? Is it on right now? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's on right now.
Yeah, it just started.
I turn it on. It's on every morning because I – click on and I want to watch Mike and Mike, and then I realize that the French Open's on. I have to change the channel.
Oh, you mean Mike Golic Jr.'s dad?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
All right, here's a good question for you, Kevin. We'll go around the horn on this one, but Kevin.
I got a few questions, too, on our official at Podcast Saints official Twitter website, which you should all be following. If you're listening to this right now, stop what you're doing. Pause. Go to your smartphone or your desktop or laptop computer, sign into Twitter, type in the search thing at Podcast Saints, and then follow us.
That's right. And after you do that, donate $1. And I would like to – oh, God, I can't find his tweet. I can't find his Twitter email. But it was a World War II veteran. He donated $20.
No way.
What?
Yeah. I can't remember his name.
For your money and your service.
Aren't we supposed to –
Wait, there's a World War II veteran that enjoys listening to us talk about the Saints.
He said he really likes us and he really likes the internet. And I tweeted it out. I can't remember his name and I don't have.
All right. Well, number one, that just blew my mind. Number two, that just made my night.
Yeah.
So whoever that guy is, thank you.
Yeah, I'm with Andrew. I think we should watch our language now, though.
Maybe so.
No. Hey, listen. Here's what I'm gonna say. Thanks for sticking it to the Krauts. You really showed them Krauts what for, sir, and we salute you for that.
That is good, yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin, this is from Alfredo. I really like this question. What piece of Saints memorabilia do you wish you had?
We're talking inanimate objects. We're not talking about. We're not talking anything that once belonged to something living. Yes.
Yeah.
I can't believe you haven't said Jeremy Shockey's underwear yet.
Yeah.
Well, I
can't believe you haven't said Jeremy Shockey's used jockstrap.
No.
Ryan's hair.
Oh, that would be great. But again, it's an inanimate object. So I would probably say either the ball that Tracy Porter brought into the end zone in Miami.
One ball, not two.
or just a piece of the field.
Andrew, what would you want?
I actually have a piece of the field. Not of Miami, but of the Superdome.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. But if I could have anything – I'm not a big collector of just accumulating shit that doesn't really do anything. But I guess if I could have anything, it'd be kind of cool to have the ticket stub. And I'm assuming Dave has this since he went to the Super Bowl. But it'd be pretty cool to have the ticket stub of the Super Bowl game itself in Miami. That'd be kind of cool.
Dave,
you did hold on to that, right?
Unless he's – Dave disappeared on us.
Well, I'm guessing he would not say that since he already has that.
So, Dave, did you hear the last question or no?
About, are we still talking about the souvenir?
Yes. What would be memorabilia?
Yeah, our memorabilia.
Well, first of all, did you hang on to your Super Bowl ticket stub?
No, I have. I've probably said this before, but I have one ticket stub from every game of that season, plus the Super Bowl, plus my media credential, which that actually was my ticket. And then also some confetti from the field. I have all of that matted and framed and hung up.
That's awesome.
In my son's room. Is it still hung up in my son's room? Yeah, it's somewhere. And then, of course, I also have – I don't know if you remember this. Remember my in-laws for my birthday bought me – remember when they were selling the seats in the Superdome?
Yeah.
Yeah, my in-laws bought me my seat, so I have my seat from the Superdome that I was sitting in when they won like the NFC Championship and that the whole season. But one that I don't have, the I would want the juicy fruit gum that Peyton was spitting when he called ambush in the Super Bowl. I'll take that.
I'll tell you what I would want.
Would you give it a little taste, Dave? Or
My mouth would be all over that, trying to absorb whatever Sean Payton.
You are put Ralph. That's going in the intro.
Yeah.
I would put my mouth all over that.
Dave, you sir are a filthy beast.
Yes, we have another. We have many intros for the regular season. My memorabilia that I would want, and I'm going to cheat a little bit because it hasn't happened yet, but once it does, I'm sure it'll be an awesome item to have. I want Rob Ryan's defensive play call sheet for the Super Bowl because it'll probably have some sort of naked woman on it or whatever. And that could be something you could frame in your house and people would be like, what is that? And you'd be like, that's the play call sheet that Rob Ryan used in the Super Bowl when he was defensive coordinator for the Saints.
Wouldn't it be great, like, if one side...
Of course he drops out. Of course.
Yeah, what was that?
Kevin dropped out.
That was Kevin.
Wouldn't it be great if...
Let's come up with our own answers. What do we think Kevin was going to say there?
Hello.
Hello. There he is.
What happened? Could you guys hear me?
No.
Yeah, basically we heard, wouldn't it be great if...
And we were about to come up with our own answers to finish your sentence.
God damn it.
So hang up and then call back in like 5 minutes.
Wouldn't it be great if one half was just the play call sheet, but then the back half that everybody saw on camera was just a mud flap from an 18 wheeler
or a Waffle House menu? Oh man, I would pay like a month's salary to have that. Dave, what questions do you have?
Let's see. I only have a couple because we only have 113 followers. Matthew Hedge at Hedgery. He says it's a bit early, I guess, but why not? What do you think will be the Saints' biggest need or needs, plural, going into next offseason? So he's already skipped 2014. I guess he probably assumes the Saints won the Super Bowl. And now he wants to know what our biggest need going into the next offseason
would be. Holy crap. Andrew, you want to take that one, Mr. You know the roster, all 85 spots?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take a stab at it, I guess. Most of the receivers are under contract, at least the ones we care about. So I think that feels pretty good. Hopefully Jimmy Graham will have his long-term deal. Offensive line is pretty set. So I would think the biggest need position, I'm going to say linebacker, just because who knows what position Hawthorne and Lofton are going to be in next offseason. And those guys make a lot of money. So I think even if they both have good seasons, they're still going to have to redo their contracts because they make way too much money. So they'll have to take pay cuts to stay with the team, is what I assume. And if either of them have a great season, it's entirely plausible that they would say no and get cut. So I could see the Saints needing to either draft or sign a guy that can come in and kind of be a tackler for them. So that's kind of the one position. I mean, I know they drafted a couple guys, but I'm not convinced Kyrie Ford and Powell have what it takes to become starters. So I'm going to say linebacker.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with Andrew, and I'm going to say offensive line. I think it's their biggest need now as we stand. And they haven't really done a good job of addressing that at all this offseason, really. Yeah. So
the only change is they lost their center.
Yeah, so, I mean, even if they sign Jonathan Goodwin, there's, you know, he's an aging veteran. So that would still be a need. So, I got to go with offensive line on this bad boy.
Dave, how little faith you put in Tavon Rooks.
Yeah, I do. I have very little faith.
I'm going to go linebacker.
And Mike Golick Jr., Golick's totally. Son.
I'm going
to
go.
Man, he should just go to radio now.
I'm going to go linebacker, too, because if Junior Gallette has a really great year, he can void that contract. And what if Victor Butler can't come back from the Achilles and Junior Gallette has 16 sacks, voids the contract, goes somewhere for $10 million a year, then suddenly the Saints have, like, a glaring need for at linebacker they could. This is a guy, Victorious One. He asked this question. He said we didn't answer it, so I'm going to retry. But I think we've answered on other podcasts. Do any of you guys have tattoos? If so, what and where? Kevin, I'll lead you off because I know you have one.
Yeah, I have two, and I'm pretty sure I've answered this before in some capacity. But this sounds like it was asked years. Well, this was years and years ago that happened. Yeah, so I've got the Saints fleur-de-lis on on my chest.
It's the Saints one, the official Saints fleur-de-lis.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Because I remember we discussed that. Because I said that, and you fucking made fun of me because you were like, "Oh my god, you got a logo tattooed on you? Oh my god, you couldn't get like just a regular fleur-de-lis. You had to get the Saints fleur-de-lis," and you just went off on me. And I'm like, "Dude, it's the fucking football team, man. What do you want?" And then I've got.
That doesn't sound like me.
Oh yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Anybody that's been listening to this show the last 3 weeks and Dave's sudden attitude change, I assure you that is Dave.
Smells like nougat.
Right. And then I've got one on my back. It's the Gaelic word for soul, so that's on my back.
As far as you know, that's what it says.
When you say soul, you mean the Mexican beer, right?
No.
You mean like the bottom of your shoe.
I mean the metaphysical representation of a person's being in essence.
All right. Well, that was a damn good answer.
And believe me, I quadruple checked that word repeatedly and made absolutely sure that is in fact the word and that is how it's spelled. So
that's good. I'm glad you did your due
diligence. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no tattoos. I am a beacon of purity, and my body is my sanctuary.
I have no tattoos because I'm deathly afraid of needles. The last 3 times I've had to give blood at the doctor, I have passed out. And I mean like not like lightheaded. I mean like pass the fuck out, smelling salts the whole 9 yards. So
I have no tattoos. I have no tattoos. I would get one. I'm not afraid of needles. If I got one, I think it would have something to do with my son or any other future child. I did like. Did you see the guy who got Drew Brees and I think maybe Vilma to sign his arm, and then he got them tattooed over on top of that.
Nice.
So he has their autograph permanently on his arm.
Yeah, do you think that's awesome or kind of a little nutty?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like as far as tattoos go, that's a pretty cool tattoo to have Drew Brees' autograph on you. I mean, if you ever ran into him in public, you could be like, dude, remember me?
Yeah. You don't have to ask him for an autograph. You just have to ask him for a picture.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what I would get on my body. I don't know what I would get. I don't know. Okay, here's the question. So if you were going to get a tattoo, other than Kevin, where would you get it?
On my ass cheek.
Grundle.
I have a my best friend. I have a friend. He came down to New Orleans when we were like 24 or whatever during Mardi Gras, and we got really hammered one night, and we went to the tattoo parlor that used to be across the street from Le Bon Ton on Magazine
Street.
That's
where I got my first one.
Really?
Yeah.
And so I mean, this was late at night, and we were completely hammered. And he has like a mole, like a brown mole on his like in bit, like on the other side of his elbow, like where his forearm creases, and like just above that, it's like a quarter size brown mole he's had his whole life. And so he got, I don't know how this came up or how it came about, but he wound up getting the guy to put sunglasses on the mole and then a talk bubble, like a cartoon talk bubble coming out of it that says, "I'm a mole."
And that's like on his forehead? That's on his forearm?
Yeah, that's like on his.
No, that's terrible.
That is terrible.
It's really silly. It is really silly.
Have you guys ever seen that tattoo? Now, I've probably seen this every 2 years. It gets passed around to me. You know, some idiot will email it to me and be like, "Hey, look what I just found. This is hilarious." This happened over the last 15 years. This has happened to me at least once every 2 years. But it's a tattoo of like the Grim Reaper on this dude's back, and on top of it, it says, "Only God will juge me." Have you guys seen this?
No.
Yeah, I mean, people find it online or in a Google search or something, and it's literally been sent to me over the last 15 years like 10 times.
So I'm going like to tweet that to you every week during the football season, Juge.
Yeah. I'm sure if you Googled it right now, "Only God will juge me," like Google image it, I'm sure it comes up.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I'm going to just tweet that at you. Every time the Saints win this year, I'm just going to tweet that picture at you. That's a promise.
I should get that tattoo.
You should.
Yeah, if anybody's going to get it, it should be you or your son. I can see the tattoo now.
Dave, do you have any
friend will email me that out of the blue and be like, "Hey, look what I found online. Isn't this funny?" Yeah, I've already seen that a dozen times. Thanks.
Dave, do you have any more questions?
That needs to be the new background on the Twitter page.
I agree, actually. That would be hilarious. Dave, make that happen.
I'm doing it right now as we speak. I was already ahead of you.
Nice.
After I tweeted out, of course. Yeah, I have a couple of questions. Well, shit, now I'm not looking at them because I was going to add that picture to our profile.
that is horrible.
Balki Bartokomis, that's a wonderful Perfect Strangers reference, by the way, from the island of Mipos. At Wargoat 4, he wants to know, what would Robin do if he caught one of Wargoat 4. Wargot? I don't know what that is. That sounds like some Dungeons and Dragons shit. What would Rob Ryan do if he caught one of his players drinking a Zima or wine cooler?
He'd probably, since he likes to nickname players animals, he'd probably nickname them some kind of like soft, girly animal, like
panda bear.
Yeah, like panda bear or like unicorn or like mermaid or something like that.
I like that, unicorn.
Unicorn. Hey,
he'd probably make him drink the entire case of it.
Teach him a lesson.
Right.
I could see Rob Ryan doing that, and then it being on Outside the Lines that the Saints have a culture of drinking to excess.
I don't know why, but I could totally see, and Lance Moore is gone, obviously, but I could totally see Rob Ryan catching Lance Moore drinking a Zima and calling Lance Moore a unicorn.
That's why the Saints need to be on Hard Knocks.
Yes.
So we can see all that tomfoolery. I don't have any more questions, so.
Oh, I have some. Yeah.
Okay, so fire them away.
Okay. Just chill out, Ralph. It's cool, man.
All right, Tarantino.
Okay.
That's what you were doing, right? From Desperado?
No, I don't know. No, I was just
You be cool. Everybody be cool.
Doing a silly voice. In retro, I'm not a huge Tarantino fan. I've never even seen Desperado.
Jesus Christ, man. I mean, are there any fucking cool movies you have seen, Dave?
Goodfellas? Explorer?
Yeah, anything with Italians in it, you know if you've seen that.
Bullshit, sometimes he ain't seen Godfather.
Yeah.
What?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Jesus.
Italian from New York ain't seen The Godfather.
Some Kind of Wonderful.
Dave, you need to lock yourself in a room and change that over the weekend.
Yeah, I know. All right. Anyway, the next question from Bitter11, at Bitter11, the number one, then one spelled out. In retrospect to Wang's blog, first of all, I don't think he knows what retrospect means, but in retrospect to Wang's blog, if Sean and Drew won another Super Bowl and hung it up, is Rob Ryan the heir apparent, and could he win a Super Bowl himself? I'll answer this one. Rob Ryan is absolutely not the heir apparent, and if he was, he certainly, I don't think he could win a Super Bowl by himself. I don't think Rob Ryan, you know, Rob, think of all the stuff that Sean Payton does. He comes up with these little, you know, the little things, hiring Mike Ornstein and doing all those things the week leading up to the Super Bowl. And, you know, Sean Payton is creative and clever, and he's a good leader of men. And I mean, I just don't think Rob Ryan has any of those qualities.
I'm going to tell you something. My retort to that is,
uh-oh,
Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl. I don't even think Barry Switzer was sober during the year the Cowboys won the Super Bowl. Rob Ryan,
Ryan definitely wouldn't be sober.
He could win a Super Bowl if the Saints would go. Let's say the Saints go 15-1 this year, and Sean Payton is like, "I'm taking the year
Kevin
off."
Kevin is washing the shit out of his hands this week.
I know.
Oh yeah.
Rob Ryan could win a Super Bowl with the Saints. He could. But the roster would have to be loaded. I mean,
But the inherent thing that puts the kibosh on your Barry Switzer comparison is right there in the question. If Peyton and Drew win the Super Bowl and both hang it up, it's not happening.
Yeah.
There's no Drew Brees waiting in the wings, or there's no Drew Brees clone waiting in the wings to come in and lead Rob Ryan's merry band of hairy gentlemen to another Super Bowl.
Dave sees you. There's no Drew Brees waiting in the wings and raises you a Ryan Griffin.
And then the alarm clock went off.
All right. We got time for one more question, Dave.
Check out the background on our at podcast Saints.
Yeah.
God will judge me.
So... All right, well, I like to end. That's a good question to end on. So we're at an hour, so we can wrap this thing up. But thanks for everybody for the questions, and keep them coming because it's the off season now, and we need them desperately.
Anything. You could ask Dave about movies he hasn't fucking seen yet.
Have you seen Scarface?
No.
You haven't seen Scarface?
Nope.
But he's not right. Have you seen Casino?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Jesus.
Oh,
fuck.
Casino was just like a wannabe Goodfellas.
Fuck.
God. Oh, we could play the game Has Dave Seen It all summer. Right. And we will. So for our fearless leader Dave, who apparently doesn't like movies. For Andrew Juge, Saints Nation, go there. Kevin Held, follow him on Twitter. I'm Ralph Marlboro. Until next week, people, be safe.
Only God will judge me.